Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am going to be answering your guys' questions for today's Monday mailbag, one of those things. I want to give a quick shout out. I did Locked On Cavs today with Chris Manning, who hosts that show over there. It's a really fun conversation. We get into the different spots that the two organizations kind of find themselves, my thoughts on the matchup. A kind of dark horse reason why I think that the Lakers are going to have the upper hand beyond like their talent and all of that stuff. So check that out. In today's show, I answer everything from whether I think Tom Brady would help the Lakers, whether I think the Lakers could or should make a trade, and my thoughts on the defense and how it compares to last year's. So, great show ahead of you. Thank you guys for the questions who sent them in. Let's get to it. All right, so now that the iTunes mailbag is kind of shut down until further notice, and I'm monitoring that, by the way, so as soon as it comes back, I will get back to asking questions there for those of you who can leave those questions there. For those of you who can't, though, this last few weeks has probably been pretty cool because you've been a voice, part of the voice of the show in ways that you might not have been before. Quick reminder that if you want to send questions in, I ask for them every kind of Sunday afternoon, early evening, as I get ready to record the show. But if you have a thought that comes to you before then, you can always send it to me at anthony.f.irwin@gmail.com. Probably going to be getting a new email specifically for the show pretty soon. But until further notice, that's a pretty good place to reach me as well. All right, let's go ahead and dive into these things. We have quite a few fun ones. A lot of people online today because of the football games. I'm sure they're going to come up as well. Can't believe Matt LaFleur elected to kick that field goal to go down, to stay down a touchdown anyway, and give Tom Brady the opportunity to get three first downs. Nice call there, bud. All right. At Froby writes, have you noticed the body language between Trez and THT? In that last game at Chicago, they seem to be going back and forth. I know that's all part of the team growth, but is it something to monitor? Love the show. Keep up the good work. So I went back and I tried to watch those minutes that THT was out there, and there were a couple kind of exchanges or whatever. I think part of it is, you know, I'm not sure how thrilled Trez was to be playing late into that game. A lot of veterans, you know, don't really like playing garbage minutes all that much. But on this Lakers team, given the amount of garbage time that they're playing, you'll have veterans playing garbage time who might not normally on different teams. Now, in regards to the exchanges that they had, it really wasn't anything big, in my opinion. It seemed like the typical stuff, especially on this Lakers team. So basically, I think across the roster, everybody has taken a bit of ownership on THT's career. They see the promise that he shows. They see everything that he's capable on both sides of the court, and they kind of take it upon themselves at different times to coach him through different situations. And different players have different ways of coaching, right? And that honestly is largely built by the way that they were coached and the success that other coaches had with them or other players had with them. Trez is a very rambunctious dude. He's a very vocal guy. And it doesn't really surprise me all that much that he would be extra vocal to the point where you notice him coaching more than you might notice other Lakers. So that's kind of what I thought I saw. I'll run it by Pete. He watches all these games a few times over as well, and I'll see what he thinks as well. But I wouldn't make too much of it. At @cloading_9, not much of a question, but was wondering if you could speak on the Lakers' professionalism, both as a team and how they handle league protocols and how it plays into them being the best team in the league. Thanks, Anthony. Love the show. Thank you. I've heard of other teams and the things that they're going through. Some of this, like I wish at this point of it all, I understand why there's a stigma behind catching COVID, but a lot of this stuff is beyond your control. You can, you know, a family member goes out to the grocery store, is in line longer than maybe they anticipate, and they bring home COVID and it spreads throughout the family, or, you know, any number of things. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't people out there being irresponsible, and we should definitely look down on those people who are being irresponsible. But I do wish we would kind of break away, given I think we're at like 24 million cases, or almost 25 million cases at this point, across the country, let alone across the globe. But I would wish we would kind of break away from the stigma of people who catch the virus. And by the way, those are known cases. Like, we don't, there's no way to know at this point because of how poor the testing was at the beginning of it that we, there's no way to know how many people have had it to this point. So anyway, regarding the Lakers, though, Kyle Kuzma has spoken to this, and I know in the Lakers organization, I have whatever sourcing you want to call it, but they have taken this thing extremely seriously. And I think it has everything to do with the ambitions they have on this season. Kyle Kuzma, you know, came out and said that they are taking it extra serious because there's a ring at the end of this season, potentially. If anything, probably, right? Given the way that the Lakers have played, if they can keep that up, that's a championship-level team. That's a dynasty-level team, let alone this championship. So I think, you know, the Lakers, Jeannie Buss, we know how she leans politically, and she has been very adamant, according to the people that have, you know, spoken about this stuff. She's been very adamant that they want to make sure that they stay as safe and smart as possible on this. And that has to do with, you know, just her general approach to dealing with the virus. And then also, I think the ramifications that this season holds. The Lakers could pass the Celtics this year. Nobody in this organization wants to be the person who puts that at risk. All right, let's take a quick second here. When we come back, I'm going to keep answering your questions. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today in a daily podcast, breaking down the biggest news stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to BuiltBar.com, use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you will save 20% off your next order. Not your first, your next. So however often you go to the website and you make a purchase, use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to save 20% off. And you're saving 20% off on an incredible product. We've been working with these guys forever now, and it is the kind of thing, the kind of partnership you're really proud of, not just because of the ability that we've been able to work together, but also because of how great the product itself is and how easy it is to sell. I've told my family about it, close friends back home, friends that I've made out here. I personally use it almost every day, basically. I would probably say I'm closer to every day than anything else, any other way you could describe this thing. It's great for me because I'm always on the go, always have some errand to run or something to ride or something like that. Avery got into some kind of trash or something, so I have to clean up and don't have enough time to eat a full meal. Built Bar has been great with that. I've lost weight since we've started working with them because it's a super healthy bar. Great flavors, great textures, just an all-around fantastic product. So one more time, head on over to BuiltBar.com. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to save 20% off your next order. BuiltBar.com, the best protein bar you'll ever eat. All right, first question coming back from the break is from CJ Mendenhall writing, do you like pineapple on pizza? No, I'm kidding. Don't start that again. I didn't start it here. This isn't my fault. I just have to answer the questions that are asked. And on this one, I'm going to answer, yes, I very much do. Still very much do. Haven't really had a hankering for pizza in general. But yeah, I mean, when I get it, it tends to always be ham, jalapeno, and pineapple. and usually with a few sprinkles of bacon on there. That's just, it's the perfect pizza. Anybody who has taste buds would agree. Working taste buds, that is. All right, next question here comes from another funny one is, how much better would the Lakers be if they had Tom Brady? I mean, I think he moves about as well as Jared Dudley. So, I wouldn't hurt to have more leadership there. I do want to say, like, we really got to stop and enjoy this next Super Bowl. I mean, I understand those of you who aren't NFL fans for a variety of reasons. It's a very problematic league. But for those of you who are NFL fans, and for those of you who are sports fans and even, you know, longtime sports fans, the idea that Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, and you know, those of you who disagree, have at it. I just think his resume is pretty damn impossible to debunk at this point. But you have the GOAT going up against this guy, Mahomes, who looks to be on track to be even better than Brady, like, let alone better as a quarterback. Like, all right, so to go back on the Brady thing, there are better quarterbacks. Like, I think Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Tom Brady. He just has played in a terrible organization, a literal mom and pop shop that hasn't been able to get him skill position players consistently and really give him the help he deserves, let alone coaches. But I think Brady has the greatest resume. You know, he's right there with Montana. And so anyway, you have the GOAT going up against this dude who might be on track to be the GOAT someday. In Travis Kelce, or he might be the GOAT tight end, but in Patrick Mahomes. So you have, you know, this incredible matchup and two very unique teams. I also like the fact that there are African-American coaches predominantly on those sidelines. Like, at some point, those racist owners in the NFL have to, like, realize what they're passing up on by way of only hiring people who look like Sean McVay or stood next to Sean McVay. I think it's a really cool Super Bowl for story purposes and hopefully for progress's purposes as well. But I don't really think there's a spot for Tom Brady on this roster. The Lakers are deep enough as it is. I don't think LeBron needs any more help. Next question here is at Manoli Monti writing, if you had to make a trade this season, no need to specify who we'd send, who are you targeting to bring onto the team? Still think the Lakers need a bigger wing who can defend. I don't want to get into, like, who I would send out because, you know, and there's another question here is, like, any, you know, so at bat base, I'm guessing it's basic82 writing, any chance the Lakers trade Schroeder at the deadline? And if so, who would you want to get in? So I would want a really good 3-and-D wing if we're sending out Schroeder. But I think in general, and I don't even think you need to make a trade on this one. I think the Lakers probably really need a wing before a rim defender. Like, we're seeing that the Lakers can kind of get away with that, especially if AD becomes less and less reticent to play the five. But I think you can never have too many 3-and-D wings. And given the teams that the Lakers are going to go against, the Clippers, the Bucks, even the Jazz, like Donovan Mitchell, if you have a wing who's capable of just kind of staying in front or containing on switches, like, that's really going to help. So that's where I would probably start. But I really don't think the Lakers need to do anything. They have such great chemistry and they're already so good that I think they probably, even regarding Schroeder, they probably should, you know, stand pat and really play this thing out to the end. Now, at season's end, you have some choices to make, I think, between Schroeder and Caruso, but I'll answer those questions as they come. Nabil Murde writes, am I the only one who holds their breath anytime they throw that three-quarter lob to AD and he jumps backwards along with the defender? It looks like the kind of play you get injured on. Also, is it just me, or is it resulting in a turnover a lot more often than last year? I'd have to think about that, actually. The injury stuff does kind of concern me a little bit. I actually think it's less injury prone than you might think, because AD is jumping in a region that usually has a lot more feet in there than it does when he's catching that pass. I think that's why LeBron is okay with throwing that pass. Now, it's twisting and turning. You know, you're asking AD to twist and turn a little bit more than he normally might, but you know, he's normally catching that pass against like a point guard or a wing or a big, if the big is really focused on getting back, you know, it's like a Brook Lopez or something, you know, somebody who's shooting a three. But yeah, I think it's actually safer than you might think. Regarding the turnover thing, I'm going to think about it. Let me think about it and get back after the break. All right, today's show is brought to you in part by betonline.ag. You want to use that promo code LOCKEDON to get your 50% deposit bonus. BetOnline was actually kind of us to throw all of us hosts here a bone, and we have a little bit of fun money to play around with here. I promptly lost a chunk of it because I suck at betting, especially on sports that I don't know as much about. today was not a great day for the Irwin bank account, but you know, I make it up for it. I think we're on a pretty good streak here when we're talking about the NBA. So let's go ahead and look at the day's slates. Now, the Lakers game against the Cavs is not up quite yet because, as per usual, the NBA doesn't, or the betting BetOnline doesn't know or isn't comfortable with who might be playing tomorrow. Cavs are also on the second night of a back-to-back tomorrow, and that usually also pushes the time back for when you get a line on that game. So I'm looking here. The Miami Heat are playing the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn Nets kind of blew them out in the last time they played, and I would anticipate that's probably going to happen again. So you have Brooklyn giving up only eight points to Miami, and I just think Brooklyn is a lot better than Miami. And Miami, by the way, has been struggling quite a bit this year. They are on that championship loser hangover kind of thing that most teams deal with, and because of that, I'm going to be betting against them. So in Brooklyn is giving up 8 points to Miami. That's today's bet of the day. Only on betonline.ag, use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% deposit bonus. They have everything that you could possibly ask for. They're already working on the Super Bowl prop bets and all the fun there. They're going to have a great variety of bets that you might be making. Only thing I ask is if you are going to do any betting, do so responsibly. One more time, betonline.ag, use that promo code LOCKEDON. All right, so to get back to this question here, Nabil Murde wrote, if I think that this pass that AD or LeBron is throwing to AD is resulting in a turnover more than it did last year, I actually think it's been a lot more successful. Like, if anything, it's like surprised me how successful it's been this year compared to last. It's just a deadly weapon, and you have the other reason I think it's more successful is because not only is LeBron capable of throwing it and putting it exactly where he wants it, but also Marc Gasol is insanely good at outlet passing. So either the pass goes out to AD, or we've seen Gasol actually throw that pass out to a variety of players, and it's such a weapon for the Lakers to be able to do that. Like, normally when you're scoring on a fast break where it's a one-on-one kind of situation, it's because of a turnover, a live ball turnover that puts the transitioning defense in a real hole and forces them to really kind of scramble to get back. In this case, though, you have the Lakers scoring off of a field goal attempt, and now, like, the other thing too that it does is it forces those teams to really focus on getting back on D versus challenging for offensive rebounds, or even in some cases, instead of focusing on the shot that they're taking, you have some guys thinking already about getting back instead of like that last second of focusing on the rim, you know, or something like that. It doesn't happen very often, but if it ever happens, that means the Lakers are really benefiting from the pass. So I think it's a weapon that I understand why people are kind of, it looks awkward and it looks like you're putting a lot of pressure on Anthony Davis's body, but you got to remember who he's catching that pass against and how crowded that key is normally when he's jumping in that portion of the court. At the underscore wackest, right? You're not the wackest, Daniel. You're fine. Do you think this year's team is actually as legit defensively as they were last season? They've looked great so far, but obviously a small sample size and somewhat soft schedule. Hate the soft schedule argument, just trying to have some perspective. No, it's good to address those disclaimers because it makes your cases all the more well-rounded. Now, Pete and I have talked about this. I don't think this team is going to reach the heights that last year's team reached defensively. I think swapping out Danny Green for Dennis Schroeder in that trade, that hurts your defense. If Caruso could get more minutes, I'd feel better about it. But you have Wesley Matthews stepping in to more, a larger role than maybe I'm comfortable with. Eventually, come playoff time, they're going to be great defensively. I just think like last year's defense was not just smart, but also overwhelming athletically. And this team is smarter, but not as overwhelming athletically. And at the end of the day, defensively, if you're a great athlete, that's a huge advantage that you can take advantage of. Let's keep going here. This is a good question. At Joe GGU, seeing how everyone is able to score, especially bigs against the Nets, are you less scared of them now than you were before? What does AC have to do to get more playing time besides shooting 60% on threes and being one of the best defenders on the team? Keep your great work up. So the Nets, as you guys remember, when the Harden trade went down, I was not really that nervous about them. Now, there's already rumors that they're interested in JaVale McGee. That would make them more interesting, but we saw JaVale McGee's defense last year. Like, he's going to help them, but he won't help them against the Lakers. I just think, look, it's certainly daunting to go up against an offense with Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin Durant. There's no doubting that. The only thing is, only one of those guys can have the ball at one time, and James Harden is a non-factor off the ball. Now, it does make them, when one of them is off the court, the team is still going to be dangerous because you're still talking about two of the best isolation players in the league, and in the postseason, that really seems to matter, or really does actually matter. But you look at the guys that, aside from Kevin Durant, I think the Lakers can kind of handle guarding those guys as isolation scorers. They're very good at forcing them into tougher shots. Not tough, because I don't think any of those guys take tough shots by their standards, but tougher shots. And then also, like Joel points out, they can't stop a nosebleed, man. They're averaging like 130 points scored against them a game. And Steve Nash is saying that James Harden is working himself into shape. Kyrie Irving, you never quite know where his head is at. If you're asking Kevin Durant to be your best team defender while he's also your best offensive player, that's quite a burden to put on a player who's coming off of an Achilles tear. They are going to make a move or two heading into the deadline and then heading into buyout season, but they are lower down the list of teams I'm nervous about than you might expect. Let's go one or two more questions. Okay, so Miko writes, do you think that THT replacing Keefe's minutes is a sustainable lineup, or is it still a matchup question? I can't do the Keefe Trez minutes again. Yeah, those Keefe Trez minutes are tough. Frank Vogel basically admitted as much. Frank Vogel is going to say the most positive thing you're going to hear anytime you ask him a question. He's so endearing in that way. But when even he is saying like, yeah, I'm using that lineup basically to get guys minutes, that really kind of gets to the point there that I'm not sure And he has to see that those lineups are struggling, and he would like to make a more sustainable adjustment. It's just that one doesn't necessarily exist on the roster right now. And they're having enough success to where he's saying, you know, maybe we can just get over those minutes while they happen. I think it's important whenever we're talking about any of these things to understand that the way that the rotation is put together in the regular season is going to be very different, not just in the postseason, but series by series in the postseason. Frank Vogel, we saw it last year, where Dwight went from being a very important player in the Denver series to not playing. And JaVale went from being the team starter all year to not playing. And if Vogel felt comfortable enough doing that last year, then you can make damn sure that he is going to be even more comfortable and more capable of doing those things this year. So, yeah, Now, did I like that lineup better? I actually did. I liked having an extra ball handler out there. When you have Trez and Markieff, you're not really, like, they're more tweeners when they play together than they are small ball fives, right? Like, you can't have two small ball fives because then you're basically just small. And I think for the sake of what the Lakers are trying to do out there, I prefer this lineup approach with a guard out there, whether it's THT or maybe you put Caruso with that group a little bit longer. You could try to put Schroeder in there, but now you're playing some pretty lengthy Schroeder minutes. This is one of those places where the Lakers, now they have an extra roster spot, and once the prorated minimum salary dips to a point where they can sign a minimum player and add somebody to that portion of their roster, I expect them to. And once they do that, I think those minutes will make a lot more sense, and the Lakers will try to find ways to get minutes to everybody. Like, this is what it looks like when you root for a really deep team. Some nights, some guys are going to get a ton of minutes. Some nights, they're not going to get as many minutes. Some nights you're going to be frustrated by who is getting which minutes, and so long as the Lakers are winning, and also just as importantly, so long as the Lakers are making visible and tangible progress with all of the lineups that they're hoping to use in the postseason, then you just kind of have to roll with some of those frustrations. All right, that is going to do it. There was one more question. Mark Berlin asking, is Southland better than The Shield? Southland, at its peak, I really enjoyed that show. I got to be honest, I never saw The Shield. I'm not really a big fan of cop shows, to be completely honest. I think our fixation on cops and TV is a little weird. It's not my thing. If it's yours, cool, but it's not really my thing. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you guys a ton for the questions. I will keep tabs on these, and the ones that I didn't answer, I'm going to go ahead and just reply to them or something so that you guys hear answers to them. It's a good problem to have when I'm getting too many questions on this. And then hopefully we can get those iTunes questions back. In the meantime, if you don't mind leaving just different reviews so that, you know, we can keep those numbers up, that'd be great. But either way, thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for continuing to tune in. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.